thank you, Steve. We're mixing things up today, this week, Bill.
Just a little. Normally, Mike McNamara comes by on the first Tuesday of every month and talks
early.
To us. He came a little early this month. It's the Midwest Independent Film Festival.
It's just between me and Wendy.
Formerly the most prestigious film festival in all of Illinois, but the rankings are changing.
We're bringing you down the
You're in a little early. Tomorrow's show is so chock full of stuff, Mike, that we said, let's get Mike in a day early, and it gives people a day.
Well, I like it. Now
prepare.
They'll hear about all the great stuff that we have going on tomorrow night, which is a historic lineup for us, and now they can actually say, okay, I'll get that babysitter. I'll cancel my tennis lessons since it's freezing cold outside, Bill.
Yes.
Maybe you should come out tomorrow night.
Yes.
And I'll get to Landmark Century Center Cinema, 6 o'clock tomorrow night for a Midwest Independent Film Festival.
And it's historic for the reason that
this is our first ever animation showcase. So it's really going to be amazing. You're really going to love this. And it's basically, we've shown animated films in the past. We've shown short films as part of larger shorts programs. But tomorrow night is solely dedicated to animated films, all types, everything from stop motion to pen and paper to computer-generated animation. And it's really going to be unique. There's two 45-minute programs. The first program that starts off the night is going to be 14 animated short films, ranging from 20 seconds to 5 minutes, 10 minutes. It's going to be awesome. Then the second half is actually the world premiere of a 45-minute feature called Where It Floods. So I brought in the director of that feature that's going to make its world premiere. His name's Joel Benjamin. And then I also brought in one of our short filmmakers, Rob Cornelius, with his short film, McTucky Fried High, which is a lot of fun.
Welcome, you guys.
Thank you. Thanks for having
us. Thanks for being here, guys. Really quickly, just for people who are new to the terminology, you don't want to call these cartoons. These are animated films or animated features, and explain the difference there between an animated film or feature and a cartoon.
I think it may depend on, like, preference, but for me, when people talk about cartoons, they kind of think I could also represent, like, comics, things that are still.
Yeah.
And when you say animation, it's, like, something that's, like, animated with a lot of character and motion. So I think that's the difference for me.
Almost too much work goes into these to call them cartoons, because cartoons, you go, well, that's Porky Pig's territory. That's not what I'm doing.
Or cereal boxes.
Right.
But doesn't this take way more work than shooting a regular movie?
Well, I mean, I think with live action, you have other people that help. And I think if it's a bigger studio animations, you'll have a big team of people. The independent, a lot of times it's just one guy or one gal sitting in a room in front of a computer or with a piece of paper and pencil and doing all the work. So it's a lot more one person kind of doing it all, as opposed to getting lots of people to help, which isn't to say that there aren't lots of people still helping.
Sure.
Actors and sounds and doing extra animation and effects and stuff, but...
It's funny, you know, cartoons and animated films, it's like comic books are now called graphic novels. So it's just one step up, I guess.
It's the mature version, if you will.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Cartoons,
is,
you think,
it?
For kids,
yeah.
I guess.
Yeah.
And it's going to be cool tomorrow night because along the lines of what Rob said about the mature version, we're covering all topics. We have everything from a 30-second, like, kind of wacky fun piece called Dead Moon Walking to, a political protest film called Open Carry USA from a gentleman named Ron Fleischer that's just all about protesting gun laws in the U.S., you know. And then you have Rob's film, McTucky Fried High, which I'll tell you about, which is kind of, you know, wacky and fun, and it's high energy and got a lot of color, but it's also dealing with real serious issues. So you really get the full range of storytelling tomorrow night.
So tell us a little about McTucky Fried High. It's fun to say.
Yeah. I mean,
it's a good start.
The name didn't give it away. They're all food characters, but it really is kind of like deep fried in love and talks about like LGBTQ issues and intersectionality between race and gender equality. So it's just kind of what Mike was saying, kind of wacky, but talking about kind of some serious issues. But it's easy to digest.
I see what you did there.
That's nice.
How long
is
it?
So this one episode that we're showing is 5 minutes long, and it's actually a longer series as well. So
there's 12 episodes, I think, in this season, right?
Episodes.
So we're going to have the festival premiere of one episode that you'll only be able to see tomorrow night.
And then where can you see the rest of the episodes?
You can go to McTuckyFriedHigh.com to see the rest of the episodes. So.
Yeah. Mike, yeah. I just have to I find this unique. You said these animated shorts range in length from 20 seconds to what? Mm-hmm. A 20-second animated short.
It's going to be pretty fun. We have a three-part series, and they're each 20 seconds, and we're just going to kind of pepper them throughout the shorts program. And and then we have another film that's 10 minutes long about urban coyotes in Chicago called Chicagoland from Manual Cinema and director Ben Kaufman, which so you're really covering the full range. I'm so excited about tomorrow night. And basically, we've been bringing together these films for about the last 2 years. So you really have truly the best in animation in Chicago and the Midwest all tomorrow night. And then after those shorts programs, we'll talk with those filmmakers. And then we're going to lead into the world premiere of, which is really long form animation, just serious drama, Midwest. And mm-hmm. That's Joel's film, Where It Floods.
Joel, tell us a little bit about Where It Floods. Wendy and I just watched a little clip from it. Sure. The animation is stunning.
Oh, thank you very much. Yeah, it's definitely the other end. I mean, it's a little bit slower, a little more contemplative, set in the Midwest, in the kind of nearish future where the water levels are rising, so everything is flooding. And most of the people who have left have gone to somewhere presumably safer and drier.
And higher.
except for the main character, Calvin, and his wife and their son, Kenneth, who... And Calvin believes that everything is going to be fine. He wants to stick it out. He believes everyone's going to come back. But, you know, things don't always go as expected.
It looks to me, and if I'm wrong, please tell me I'm wrong, that this is a
wouldn't
story.
Wouldn't be the first time.
Wouldn't be the first time this minute. I had people walking by the studios going, you're wrong. What are you talking about? It looks like this is a story that could have been told in live action, but you chose animation. Mm. Because why?
That's a commonly asked question. The easy answer is that I couldn't afford to flood the Midwest.
Oh.
So, I mean, there's sort of an obvious choice.
Yeah.
And then again, I think a lot of animators, and maybe Robert can say this too, is that we're very particular about the way that things look and sound, and this allowed me to have control over literally every pixel on the screen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I decided what it looked like. I decided all the costumes, all the colors, all the character designs for better and worse. So I got to have full control over all that stuff too.
It's 45 minutes long?
Yeah.
How long did that take you to animate? I just have to know the formula here. Because it was a long time, wasn't it?
Yeah, it took me 8 years.
Whoa!
8 years.
Whoa!
So I actually recorded the voices, I think, in fall of 2009. And there were some years that I didn't work on a ton. But it's been a long process. Again, it's the one person working on it thing. Wow. It just takes a lot longer.
Well, you are a patient man.
Yeah.
So if I give you a list of groceries I needed you to pick up for me,
it'll take me a long
realistically,
time.
How soon could I get them?
How's November?
November's fine. Wow.
Robert, what about you? You said yours is about 5.5 minutes long.
Yeah.
McTucky Fried High, how long did that take you to complete?
We had two different animators in that particular episode, and it took about a year.
Wow.
To do.
Good golly.
You have to be incredibly patient.
And he's rapid fire because he's doing 12 episodes, and then I think he released the whole season in one set. So it's a totally different animal there as well. So
definitely. A labor of love, if you will.
It'd have to be.
Big time labor of love.
All right, let's pick this up in just a little bit.
Okay.
And Mike, for people who want more information about tomorrow night's Midwest Independent Film Festival, their move is?
Go to midwestfilm.org. We have limited number of tickets remaining. Doors are at 6 o'clock. We have a panel at 6:30, which I'll tell you about when we come back. And then the film start at 7:30. It's going to be an amazing night. And go to midwestfilm.org for the full lineup and tickets.
All right. Spill Left, Wendy Snyder, 720 WGN. It's Spill Left. It's Wendy Snyder. We're visiting with Mike McNamara, co-founder and executive director for the Midwest Independent Film Festival. You're in a day early so people can plan their schedules.
I love it. I like this Monday thing.
Mm-hmm.
And all animation tomorrow night.
All animation tomorrow night. We're in our 13th year on this festival, this year-round festival, solely dedicated to Chicago and Midwest filmmakers. And this is our first ever full animation showcase. We're going to open with 45 minutes of really amazing short films, which includes last year's Student Academy Award winner, Defluked. This is going to be the Chicago premiere of that film. The filmmaker Carter Boyce is going to be in town. And then after that shorts program, we have the world premiere of 45-minute feature Where It Floods. And I brought these guys in today.
That's so exciting. The technique, Joel, that you use, it's not traditional cell animation. It's almost a 3D look. Is it rotoscoping? Is that what it's called?
No.
I mean, wow, look at you.
Oh, he went for it. You went for it, Bill.
What is it called?
It's sort of a digital version of a traditional cutout, paper cutout animation. It's all on the computer, but it's using the same sort of techniques that you'd use if it was on paper, just not shooting it on film.
So a computer now can, because for years, if you wanted to do that, you couldn't do it through a computer. You had to do it physically, but now there's the capability through a computer. That's great. Yep. And it still took you 8 years.
It still took me 8 years.
Wow.
What changed in that 8 years, technology-wise? Did it really...
Well, you have to learn the new software every year. It comes out, the new
tools. Updates.
And you have to work out all the bugs for transferring to the new software. And it's stressful. Yeah.
I mean, did the script change over those 8 years?
Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, that has to be tough. You're doing this animation over the course of 8 years. And around 4 years in, you're like, oh, man, that one scene.
Yeah.
Or that 12 scenes.
Right, that 12.
Oh,
yeah,
no.
But talk about that hanging over your head. If we have a project or something, it's like, oh, I could have done it that way. That tormented you for 8 years.
Yeah, but it's finished now, so it doesn't have to torment me.
I guess.
And it actually just made it into a very prestigious international film festival. What's the name of the?
Zagreb in Croatia.
Oh, very nice.
So right after the World
Premiere. Dobro jutro. That is good morning, or Dobro dan is good afternoon. That's my Croatian.
We got rotoscoping. We got Wendy throwing out languages.
Yeah, it's very cultural.
I like these
show,
Mondays.
Like, very cultural. Extremely. When you guys were younger, was there some animation that either or both of you saw that you said to yourself, wow, this is something I want to follow? What'd you see?
I'm going to totally geek out right now and say Sailor Moon.
Oh, sure.
Like Japanese anime, just so super famous. And I was like, I love Sailor Moon. I love animation.
Wendy dresses like the characters on her birthday every year.
You'll have to come back.
Yeah, please come back for that.
I love that.
Yeah. Well, anything for you like that, Joel? Was there something you saw that just kind of sparked you?
It probably wasn't until college because we didn't have cable. So we saw, I grew up with He-Man, I guess.
Oh, really? Yeah.
I don't really remember that much. So it probably wasn't until college when I had access to any actual animation.
But it's funny because it's such limited animation in He-Man. It's almost almost none, really. It's strange.
Yeah. Yeah, but in Joel's movie, it's animated, but... In my opinion, it's limited as well, because we were looking in the background, and I said, that is real scenery, and Bill's like, no, that's all animation. It looked like real sky, it wasn't?
No, nope, it's all drawn.
Yeah.
Wow. Yep.
That's amazing. And how about all the major filmmakers? There have been so many directors over the last decade or so that have said, I mean, Tim Burton, Richard Linklater, the list goes on and on, of guys that go, I got to get into animation. It's that great.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of been inspiring seeing that access, you know, like Josh was saying, like being able to create like whatever your mind like imagines. So just having that access to things is like really great, even for people that aren't like in the mainstream, like, you know, funding or anything like that.
Yeah.
Computers.
No, agreed. And it's great because it's tedious, but it's also liberating. Like Joel said, you have full control over your vision.
Yeah.
But because you have full control over the vision, the timetable for achieving that can take a while.
Oh, sure.
What's great is you're just – and there's so many diverse voices that you're going to see and hear tomorrow night at the fest. Everything across the whole map, from different animation styles to different stories being told. I think everyone's really going to enjoy it. And this is really – this is a really once a year kind of event, so I definitely hope people will come out.
Both have messages, both of these films. Do you lose that message a little bit with the animation, or does it help, actually? Because you don't have people...
screwing it all up with that acting.
Well, but seriously, there's something to be said for that. What do you guys think?
Sure.
I think it could go either way. I mean, I think for me, working on it for such a long period of time, I felt like sometimes I would lose the message. But I think the advantage of animation is that because the characters are a little bit stylized, we can sort of project as an audience a lot more than if it was like Tom Cruise's face. We would think of Tom Cruise.
Exactly.
I'd agree. Yeah, I'd second that. I mean, I think that it just is a bit more inviting, like especially with animation, bright colors and things like that. If you have a film that's like a live action talking about race or like queer issues and things like that, you know, you're seeing a race of a character, a gender of a character. Yeah. So you're bringing that into it. Whereas with animation, it's almost like a clean slate, and you know, people can project onto that, but also take away the message that you're giving them as well.
And look at The Simpsons. Isn't that like the longest running television show ever?
Yeah.
I mean, look at that.
Yep.
And really with these, with both these films, the emotional impact delivers, especially with Joel's. You'll know when you see this lead character, Calvin, and what he's going through with his the family farm for generations, and he's being forced to leave, and he's holding his ground. I mean, it's a heartbreaker.
You want to hold on to something that you love.
Yeah.
So, Joel, at some point when someone's watching your film and they forget that it's animated, because I just watched the preview clip, which is a couple minutes, and midway through, I thought I was watching a real story and not an animated version of a story. Is that upsetting to you, or is that honor that they're not thinking of it as being animated?
Well, I prefer to describe it as a film. It's just a drama. Kind of a medium-length drama set in the Midwest with a lot of sort of stylized visuals. So it doesn't. I mean, if people sort of forget about the technique part of it and focus on the story,
right?
That's ideal.
Yeah,
yeah, that is good.
Will both of you at some point go into live action, or do you want to stick with animated work?
I came from live action.
You did,
and as much as I love it, I can't say that I enjoy being on set all the time.
Oh, yeah.
And much to Josh talking about, like, I kind of enjoy kind of like being on a computer by myself and working with the team in that way. So I do enjoy animation, just again, with budgets and things like that. You can just really create anything as long as, you know, you have the skills to bring in the right people to do it or do it yourself.
How does what you guys do, because I know you're on a much more limited budget than your major animation studios, but what exactly is going on behind the scenes that's dramatically different between what you do and what they do?
People. Team
size,
I think.
Just a number of people.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, we both have to make a living somehow, which is probably not going to be off of our independent animations. So we have jobs and work. So there's time and then just team, I think.
And then you can work on it on your own time where you don't have a casting call and everybody has to be there. You can kind of be more independent and when you work on it.
Right. Definitely.
Pretty fascinating. That Congratulations, you guys.
Tomorrow night should be a big night, Mike.
Tomorrow night, huge night. And kicking off the night, I know we've only got another minute here, but we always kick off the night with our producers panel. Mm-hmm. And we just confirmed right before we headed to the studio, there's a brand new film called They that nobody's heard of. It's shot in Chicago last summer. It's making its world premiere at the Cannes Film Festival later this month. And the director and the producer, the director, Anahita Gazvanizada, and the producer, Zoe Chua, are going to be at the fest tomorrow night heading up the panel. So
what
that's going to kick off the night.
What is They? Because I've heard of it, but I don't know what the storyline is. Can you say? Not sure?
I'm not. Honestly, they're still pretty secretive about what it's
like
all
about.
It sounds
like it's about a bunch of people.
It actually centers on one person, and it deals with gender issues and transgender It's one where you're definitely going to have to see it to fully understand what it's all about. But it's going to be at Cannes later this month, the most prestigious film festival in the world. And we're going to have the director and the producer at the fest tomorrow night.
Good. You are so all in this because you didn't have any notes to remember those people's names. And you said it mellifluously.
Trying to get Gazvanizade.
It's amazing.
Adele Dazeem. Anytime you're at a loss for what their name is, go with Adele Dazeem.
I love it.
Mike, thanks so much for being here. Greatly appreciated.
Thank you.
The Midwest Independent Film Festival is the first Tuesday of every month, and tomorrow is no exception. Joel, good luck to you. Rob, good luck to you. These both sound like great films, so we're proud of you.
Okay. We'll see you tomorrow night.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll take a quick break. News is next. Bill and Wendy, WGN.